Starting off. Well, a very warm welcome to you on a actually quite a mild day. It's not that cold actually for the end of December. And Merry Christmas to you all. Welcome to Sittingbourne Baptist Church and this our Christmas Day service. I'm going to begin by reading a couple of scriptures from God's Word. And the first one comes from Numbers chapter 4 and verses 29 to 33. Not a typical Christmas Day reading, but bear with me. Numbers 4, 29 to 33. Count the Merarites by their clans and families. Count all the men from 30 to 50 years of age who come to serve in the work at the tent of meeting. This is their duty as they perform service at the tent of meeting, to carry the frames of the tabernacle, its crossbars, posts, and bases, as well as the posts of the surrounding courtyard with their bases, tent pegs, ropes, all their equipment, and everything related to their use. Assign to each man the specific things he is to carry. This is the service of the Merarite clans as they work at the tent of meeting under the direction of Ithamar, son of Aaron, the priest. Now we're going to jump forward to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 and verses 1 to 12. And this passage is probably a little bit more familiar to you. So Matthew chapter 2 and verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. We're now going to watch a short video, which we'll kind of we'll use as a springboard into the message this morning.
I wonder what it would be like to be born in a manger.
Yeah. Wonder whatever happened to baby Jesus.
I do ask a lot of our sound engineers at the back there. Okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll come back to it. If we can maybe try and have it at the end. Can we try and have it at the end? So see if it works later.
Saying that the baby
Actually, let's just have the audio. Jesus. I know we haven't got the video, but if you just listen to the conversation, that'll give us something.
I wonder what it would be like to be born in a manger.
Yeah. Wonder whatever happened to baby Jesus.
He grew up.
What? Wait. So you're saying that the baby Jesus Christmas story is the same as the adult walk on water Jesus?
Yeah. Thanks, honey.
Wow, I just never really put the two concepts together. Wonder what happened to that guy, huh?
He went to the cross.
That's the same guy?
Yeah.
So what you're saying is baby Jesus is the same as cross Jesus?
Yeah. I mean, there's some time in there, right? I mean, he grew up, he taught people, he lived a perfect life. He died on the cross and came back to life, and, you know, now he lives in our hearts.
That's the same guy? The Jesus that lives in our hearts? Okay, I was really, oh, wow. Okay, I never really put all those guys together, you know?
Only one guy.
I tell you this. There's an idea. Maybe we stop just making Christmas all just this once a year isolated thing, but we make it an ongoing story about the salvation in our hearts and lives. Up top.
It's the idea.
It's a shame we couldn't actually see it because the part of the kind of physical comedy of it is quite good, but we'll see if we can get it up at the end. So, a conversation between two people having a conversation about the Jesus who, you know, celebrated Christmas is the same Jesus who walked on water, performed lots of miracles, died, rose again, and the same Jesus that we believe in today believe lives in our hearts. And I wonder if you've ever made the connection between the different accounts of Jesus. And I know in one sense, we kind of all do. We know that, you know, the reason we meet at church is because of the same Jesus. But actually, do we really get that it's the same Jesus? That these are not different people. This is the same baby that's born in the manger at Bethlehem. It's the same Jesus who is alive today. And that one of those last lines in that conversation there was that we should make it an all through the year thing, not just once a year at Christmas. I want to have a look at what the same Jesus and that idea means for us. And one particular thing, looking at the theme of gifts. Now, who's opened some presents this morning? Yeah? I was really bad because I opened some presents a couple of weeks ago. As soon as I get presents, I have to just open them. I don't know what it is. So I didn't actually open anything this morning because I had already opened them, but yeah. But gifts, we all have had, hopefully, gifts of some sort, or maybe are going to have gifts, even if it's just a card. And I'm going to let you into a little secret. When I was a lot younger, and actually I still do it now, but more of a kind of humor thing. Whenever I'd get a card, I would open the card, and I'd open it like that to see if anything fell out. And the disappointment when a note didn't fall out or a check didn't fall out, especially if it was from a grandparent or you know, a family member, you're like, oh, come on. But gifts, I mean, and we say, don't we, it's the thought that counts. You know, it says when we are, people think about us to get us something or anything, it is a real joy. But gifts, they vary in proportion, don't they? From the very, very small, though meaningful, to the very, very large. You know, we've all had very different things this morning, I'm sure. And wrapping gifts is I find it actually a nightmare, because it would be okay if all gifts were like one regular sized box and you could just wrap it and it's fine. But I tried to wrap for my niece this morning a Waffle the Dog present, and there's a little bit of cardboard base and then a back that comes up, and then the dog camera was spilling over the edge of it. And that's just not a shape that you can easily wrap. But I'm hoping she'll like it. All have different gifts. I wonder if we can get the first slide up from the PowerPoint. The Magi in Matthew chapter 2. Very good. If you go to the next slide. The Magi, they come and they bring Jesus three gifts: gold, frankincense and myrrh. Who opened some gold this morning? No? Some of the ladies may be thinking, I wish. Not even a diamond. Frankincense, anyone? How about some myrrh? No? Oh. Strange gift then to get the baby Jesus, isn't it? If we go to the next slide, you'll see here, and I don't know how well you'll see it, if the wise men were three wise women, the gifts might have looked a bit different. So you've got fresh diapers or nappies, casserole for the week, and lots of baby formula. Yeah, I've often thought that they are very strange gifts to get a child, but there was a lot of symbolism in them. And actually the gold, you know, was setting Jesus up for the future. The frankincense, the fragrance, the offering, and then myrrh, that the representation that Jesus was going to die. So there was an importance with the gifts. There was a symbolism of who Jesus is and what he would do. Again, the same Jesus. The same Jesus who was given these gifts in the manger was the one who would grow up, would live a perfect life, human but perfectly. Today, we have lots of gifts, and we've opened some this morning, but there are gifts for the church. And these are gifts not that we open up from a present, from wrappers. Thankfully, we don't have to wrap these up. But they're different gifts that God gives us to the church. If we could go to the two slides on. So, there are establishing gifts. In Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 11, and 1 Corinthians 12, 29, you see that God gives gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. These gifts are used primarily for planting churches, for growing churches, for leading churches. And then there's other supporting gifts like prophecy, service, teaching, encouragement, giving, administration. If I was in the office and not Bev, things would look very different because that's not my area of gifting. Leadership, distinguishing spirits, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues. There's the ministry gifts as well: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, help, mercy ministries, those kind of things. There's so many gifts that God gives us, but what do we do with them? We then use them in the church. Different gifts. Now, the reading that I read earlier from Numbers chapter 4, you might be thinking, that's a really strange reading for Christmas Day. And in a sense, yeah, I totally agree with you. But I've wondered, in the same way that when you open a gift and it's maybe a pair of socks or something that you're like, oh, it's not quite what I wanted. I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm only saying this because Jemima isn't here. Okay. Jemima so lovingly got me some shoes for Christmas, some Adidas trainers, and they're lovely. And I've never bought a pair of Adidas trainers because I can't justify spending how much money they are on trainers. And she even got them personalized with my name on it. And opening up, I just love them to look at. But when I walk in them, they really squeak. They squeak really badly. And she's like, do you like them? I'm like, yeah, they're really, really lovely. And I do, I love them. They're such a wonderful gift, but they squeak like crazy. But I wonder, if there's sometimes we have a little bit of disappointment in the gifts, but the thought behind it and the gift giver is actually, that's most important. The fact that Jemima got me a gift was just absolutely thrilling. And the fact that she'd personalized it and she put in the effort and she spent the money on it, like, meant so, so much to me. I wonder, in this reading, you see that there's jobs that are given out. There are gifts, as it were. There are uses. There are things that people are given here to carry out their duties, to run in the tabernacle. And I wonder what it would have been like to be the official tent peg carrier. The tent peg carrier. See, the tabernacle had loads of fancy things in it, you know, gold and things for, incense and all those kind of things. But then tent pegs. And there's somebody who was given, someone was assigned individually to carry tent pegs. And I wonder what he would have thought of being given that gift, that job to do. A tent peg carrier. I think sometimes that can be like us when we have gifts. That actually, when we compare ourselves to others and what we're good at and what other people are good at, we think, oh, I wish I could do what they do. I wish I had their gift. I wish I could do that, what they do in church. I wish I was that organized. I wish I could speak like them. I wish I could pray like them. I wish I could do the things that they do. But the important thing to realize is that God gives each one of us, every single one of us, he gives gifts. And this might be one of your first times or only times in church, but he has still given you a gift. He has still given you a job. He's still giving you something that you are good at and that he wants to use if you let him. And it could be administration. It could be encouraging people. It could be praying for people. I'm not belittling administration now. I came up with it first because actually it's a really important one. But there are so many things that, because we are all different, we all have different gifts, we all can bless and benefit with one another when we use our gifts. The tent peg carrier. Actually, the tent pegs were really important because they held up the sides of the tabernacle and they were rooted in the ground. If we go to the next photo, next slide. There you go. Iron stakes that hold the supports to keep the tabernacle up. It's a small bit of metal, but actually it was really important so that the people had a place to worship and to meet with God. So even in your gifts, whatever they might be, whatever you think of your gifts, whether the gifts you open this morning at Christmas or the gifts that you have in your heart and who you are, God can use them and he wants to use them. The last verse of In the Bleak Midwinter says this: what can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would give a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give him my heart. And it's the same Jesus that came to Bethlehem in the manger, the same Jesus that grew up, the same Jesus that lived a perfect life, showed us how to live, is the same Jesus who is inviting each and every one of us to bring ourselves to him, to repent. And repentance just means to turn away from the things that are wrong, that God sees as wrong, and to follow after God. And that is the message of Christmas, to give Jesus our hearts. This Christmas, as you carry on opening gifts, as you are grateful for them, remember that God has given each one of you gifts as well, and he wants to use you in his service and for his kingdom. So may that be a blessing to you this morning and an encouragement to you that even if you see yourself as a tent peg carrier, God can still use you and each one of us. Amen.